machine on and start recording. That's all right. So as you saw in the document, there are some broad themes we wanted to discuss with you, but are also, I think, just open to hearing about your experiences and what you'd like to share. But maybe you could maybe start by introducing yourselves just for the recorder and your names and where you live.
Okay, I'm Linda Gaskew-Ziga, and we live in Middleburg Heights, which is a southwestern suburb of downtown Cleveland. We're about 10 miles from downtown. And you?
My name is James M. Ziga, Z-I-G-A. That's how we, years ago, when my relatives, they used to pronounce it Ziga. Hmm. And how everybody says right. Ziga. So
they dropped the S during the immigration process. Right.
And a lot of my relatives came from Slovakia, which used to be Czechoslovakia, you know, so.
And Hungary.
Right. And my grandmother lived on the borderline of Slovakia and Russia. She lived in the borderline, and they lived in a castle or something, which is a lot further down.
And she
born
in Budapest, though?
In Budapest, yes.
And your grandfather also?
Yes.
And we're just being joined. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi.
Gabby?
Hi, I'm Gabby. I'm a first year undecided major.
How do you do?
Hi, Gabby. I'm
nice to meet
Linda Stiga, and this is my husband, James.
Nice to meet you guys.
And just look strange on your end. Our screen and our camera are a little bit off centered, so it might look like we're not looking at the camera because the screen's up above a little bit. And maybe just since we have the recorder on now, once again we have Fatima Escalada and I'm Ian McMillan, just for our recorder's sake. And Mr. and Mrs. Ziga were just introducing themselves and telling us a little bit about family background in Slovakia and parts of Hungary.
Yes. And once she's Roma, I've been in my time, because I'll be 70 years old this month. In my time, there was a lot of traditions when I was young,
mm-hmm.
younger and everything, and there was a lot of musicians because, which you already know, our gypsies were musicians, they were church choirs like that. And that's what we did, but there's not that many musicians anymore. The tradition is not like it used to be when I was a young person. And it's changed a lot. Everybody used to, years ago, a lot of the people lived on Bridge Avenue, which was on the near west side, and most of the houses were all gypsies on 30th and Bridge.
Right,
on 28th. Yeah, everybody lived next door to each other. And Vest Street, which was another street, like a couple streets over, and by Lutheran Hospital, there was J Avenue and West Street over there, and that's where everybody lived in Cleveland.
Some lived there, and some lived on Bridge Avenue,
right.
Primarily.
And some lived on Chatham. Different families lived on Chatham, but there used to be a lot of gypsies here. There's not that many anymore. A lot of them has passed away. Mostly passed away at my age. For some reason, gypsies don't live that long.
I think it depends on the person's family genetics, actually.
Like,
just like
in the men and the men on my father's side, they only lived till they were the most 73 years old.
Yeah, your father was 56.
Yes, he was 56 when he passed away.
And the history of heart disease, you lost several young cousins under the age of 30 to heart attacks.
Yeah. My aunt lost two sons, young sons, that had heart attacks. And that was on my mother's side, because my mother and my father were full-blooded gypsy.
And they both passed away.
My father died when I was 56.
Yes, he died in 1974,
right.
And your mother died in 2000 and... Eight.
She lived to be 79. My mother had 13 brothers and sisters. And the gypsies at that time lived in a lot of kids. A lot of kids, you know.
There were children everywhere when I first met you.
Right. And their father died very young. He was in his 40s when he died. And he was considered, his name was Bum, which he's in a book.
He's in Stevie Piscor's book.
Yeah. A lot of us, and I'm in there too. And he knows, he saw the book. And he was considered one of the best musicians of all the gypsies and our gypsies, because he teached a lot of the gypsy boys, which they became good violinists at that time, but that was in...
The older men would teach the younger ones.
Like my father's, you know. He taught them because he was born in, I'm not even sure. Like,
your father was born in 1917. I forgot what year he was born.
I think he was born maybe in 1890 or beginning of 1900.
Yeah,
and he was considered the best cymbal. He played cymbal.
He's done this CD.
Yeah, he taught a lot of the gypsy men how to play the one, but they're all, most of them are gone.
Yeah,
too.
These guys are all.
Because they were our grandfathers that he taught. And there was a lot of, for instance, like our funerals, which is not like this anymore. When somebody died, there was 50 violin players, maybe 60, 70. Now you'd be lucky if there's four or five, you know. So.
And then they would carry the upright basses. They
carry
would have
them.
A procession.
The
behind,
kids,
behind the hearse.
The young boys would carry the bass violins and while they played it. It was very something. My dad was very well liked, and
he had a huge family.
People came from Chicago and Detroit. That's where they, a lot of them lived now.
Some moved from Cleveland to Dearborn, Michigan, and also to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and now some have moved from those cities
mm-hmm.
and here out to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
so
a lot of them live in,
scattered.
A lot of people,
they're very scattered.
Gypsies live in Vegas now, but they're younger people, they're a different generation. There ain't too many there that are my age. My wife and I never moved to a different city with the gypsies is because I had a really good job. She had a really good job. I was playing on weekends, and I was also, as a musician, was also working. I had a really good job. I had a stable job where there was insurance and everything. So I stayed with it, you know, because we were making decent money. You know, Linda was started working in the bank, and over the years she became like assistant vice president for the corporate part, National City Bank. But she retired when she was young. She retired when she was 56, and I retired when I was 50 because I got sick. So I was on disability.
He retired on disability.
But we both had really good jobs, you know. I never went past eighth grade. I'll be honest with you. Never did, but I had a good job. I was a supervisor, and I was the highest paid in the company because I took care of a lot of things, you know, for people to work there, and I had a good relationship with my boss. So, so that's where that was at. And so we stayed in Cleveland. There's not too many. There's Stevie, which you know. Stevie is my first cousin. That's my first cousin.
They have some relatives in Homestead, Pennsylvania. Also.
Yeah, a lot of my grandmother lived there. I remember her living there as a little boy, and they called it the yard, and it was a yard.
It was in Braddock.
Braddock, and all the gypsies lived in this next door to each other, the yard, and outside the yard was a road. And it was a lot of fun to be there because the men were always playing in the yard, and that, you know, the violin.
A lot of music.
A lot of music.
And
time.
A lot of happy times.
Yeah.
for funerals, the men would, after the actual funeral ceremonies were over, they would get together at someone's house every single day for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Until that wife threw them out and said, that's it. Enough with the smoke and the whiskey. You guys have to go mess up someone else's house. And
gypsies,
they would take turns. And
gypsies,
after weddings,
they drank a lot too.
Yeah. After weddings, they celebrated even longer.
Yeah.
That would go on for at least 3 weeks, maybe four, depending on how tolerant the women were of the mess the men would make. And sometimes the women joined in.
Yeah.
We have pictures of his mother playing a bass, an upright bass, and drinking and smoking a cigarette. These were all very common practices in those days.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you don't see that much of it. Now you've got the younger generation, which is really sad. They're getting addicted to drugs and painkillers, just like all the other younger generation, no matter what nationality they are. And that's a sad situation for the entire country.
Yeah, that's going,
but
a lot,
now,
we lost a lot of young people.
Because of drug overdoses.
Over there, yeah, in Vegas.
Especially in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But Jim's brother, Johnny, who lives in Dearborn, Michigan, is an excellent violin player. He studied at Juilliard, and he's teaching his grandson, Jaden, to play violin. Jaden performed in a concert with his grandfather, George Bocci from Homestead, Pennsylvania, and other excellent violin players, and Alex Udvari on the cymbalum. I'm sure you, Ian, you probably heard these names before, some of them. But Johnny taught his grandson, and you can find this video either on Steve Piskor's Facebook page or on YouTube. Just look for Hungarian Slovak Gypsy concerts or symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the name of the
place. My brother was, when he was started off playing violin, he was just like him. Just like him, he says, even my brother tells me, he says, it's like looking at myself. He says, I did the same thing, you know, and which he did, you know. And my father,
Your father was also a guitar player, but he could play violin too.
We played bass too, and
bass.
We played together a bunch of times. Played at Tangiers.
In Akron.
I had a contract with
Holiday Inns,
and I went around and played there. I played with my other cousin, his name was Johnny.
You were at the Night of Budapest,
the concert. I was one of the bass players. There was five of us, and I was one of the bass players at the end.
They didn't let the wives go.
A lot of music going on, you know. So do you have any questions you want to ask us?
Yes, and let me introduce also, we have two more from the class.
Okay.
You want to introduce yourselves to our guests?
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Gaines.
Hi, how you do?
Hi, I'm Emma.
Simone? Okay.
Emma.
Okay.
And Jacqueline, yeah.
It's Linda Ziga. I'm Jim Ziga. So.
Now, I have a totally different background as a young child, because I was born Irish, Scottish, and Cherokee Indian. Born in northwestern Alabama. My great grandmother, my great great grandmother, I forget which one it is, actually owned Indian land in northern Alabama until the Treaty of 18 whatever took that land away from Native Americans, but they still remained settled in that area, those that were not shipped off to Oklahoma during the Trail of Tears. So I was born near Tuscumbia, where Helen Keller was born. And we lived there, I lived there until I was about three or four when my parents moved here to Cleveland to get jobs at the Ford and Chevy plant, because there just wasn't any work in Alabama at that time. They didn't have the chicken factories that they have now and so forth. But I met Jim when I was 14, and prior to that I went down to Alabama every summer and spent 3 months of the summer with my one of my sisters. The two of us would stay with my father, my birth father, and grandmother, and became Southern Baptist, baptized in a lake, the whole nine yards. My grandmother was like my spiritual religious mentor. We weren't allowed to wear pants or shorts, weren't allowed to dance, but so we did silly things like playing basketball with our cousins and playing baseball with them in a cow pasture. And I slid into first base one time in a white skirt on a muddy day. That my grandmother didn't like that much.
Well, to make a long story short, we met each other when she was 14. Usually my people, we get married to our own kind. I had some problems with a couple of gypsy girls that their parents wanted me to marry them, and I was only 15 years old at that time.
Right.
I was about to get married. I wasn't about to get married when I was 15 years old. At that time, a lot of them did get married at that age, and it wasn't their thing to get a divorce or anything. You had to stay, unless you really had some really bad problems with the gypsy girls. But there was a lot of problems going back. They wanted me to marry this girl, then they wanted me to marry this girl, and
yeah,
one
so
of the reasons why. Yeah, I went to Chicago. And the reason why is because it's not what the gypsies look for. It's like the boy has to be a musician and never got in trouble with the police or anything like that, have money. My family, my father's side families, was always considered money. Okay. And because of that, they considered me a good boy. That's what it was. That I had money, I am a good musician, and I never got in trouble and everything. So
plus
all
you're cute.
And all the mother and fathers of different families wanted people like me, my brother, myself, my brother, and my other brother, and. Because they're a good catch and they'll give you a good living because they have money. And they consider money, if you're working and you're playing and all that, they consider that you have a lot of money. So it ran into a lot of problems. So I said to myself, I don't want no gypsy girl now because I want to live.
You want to have to make your own choice.
I want to make my own choice, yeah. Which the girls were, I don't know if you ever saw gypsy girls. They are really, they're very, very pretty girls. They are
beautiful.
They're beautiful girls. You can see some of them. They look like models. I'm not saying, but they are very pretty because they dress, the way they dress too and everything, they're always dressed like they're going out to a big nightclub or something or a wedding.
I could have done that
today,
but Jim said, no, you don't have to wear any bling or...
She's bling.
I love that, but I kept it kind of toned down. I'm into, crystals and gemstones, and I'm an Aquarius, so I dabble in a lot of different things. But I was raised with some of his cousins. I went to school from the seventh grade through the ninth grade with some of his cousins. Some boys and some girls. And I would actually, in my history class, the teacher had me grading some of the boys' papers. Well, grading everyone's papers, but, there were some of the boys, and I'd be like, yeah, hey, you didn't get a good grade on your last test. You better shape up.
Where did you go to school?
What's that?
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at William Dean Howells Junior High School and West Tech High School, and then attended some classes at Tri-C. Jim went to St. Patrick's School, which is located on West 30th and Bridge Avenue,
mm-hmm.
which is now considered part of Ohio City.
Well, a lot of people, too, don't think that gypsies aren't that religious, but my people,
they're very religious.
They're very religious, and they're all Catholics, all of them, which is the other gypsies that are fortune tellers and that, they're not. They're not Catholic.
They can be all.
They can be any.
Whatever.
But all of our relatives, which is, at that time, there was thousands of them, because there was a lot of them in Chicago at my time. And they all lived on a street that's called Berlin Street, and some of them lived on a couple streets after. But if you wanted to go to Chicago and you live on Berlin Street, all you got to do is sit on the porch and watch the show. That's
especially
the way it was.
Especially summertime.
Yeah, summertime.
And this happened here in Cleveland too.
Yeah.
Because you always had your little clicks, just like with any other group of people that live close by. Anyway, whenever you get a large group of people together, you're going to have different dynamics for different reasons. And in the summertime, there was no air conditioning, mind you. And it would be hot. People would sit outside on their porch with a fan or whatever. And there were more arguments and disagreements in the summertime, and they were not shy about voicing it, swearing at each other in the middle of the street, throwing things at each other.
It was basically women, though. It was all mostly
the women did most of the fighting.
Yeah.
Yes. The women were the women defended their men and their children.
And the men would be sitting there. The men would be sitting there together having a drink with the wives that are fighting.
The two men would sit. The men would sit and just watch the action, and not even bother trying to stop it because there's no stopping it. You know, you just let them burn themselves out, and they stop eventually.
But we like on our wedding when we got married. So it was when we talk about people who are gypsy. We call them American. Gaji, but usually it's in our generation, it's Americans, wild gypsies, and that we called the ones that fortune tellers. They say Gaji. Yeah. We say Americans because we all speak, basically, we all spoke English. We do have a language, it's only our own language that we have.
And
I know a little bit of it. But when there's a wedding, they have huge weddings. Linda and I, when we got married, we had to rent two forts, and there was over 500 people there at our wedding.
Yeah.
And the reason why there were so many is because we had to invite her side of the relatives and our side.
Yeah, but you had more people than I did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they usually have big weddings, and they all get married in church. We always do in Catholic church. Linda and I got married in a Catholic St. Patrick's Church.
Yes, I had my first communion on our wedding day, and I was baptized in the Catholic Church the day before our wedding.
Did other gypsies from your community attend the same church that you guys went to?
A lot of them did.
A lot of them did. Yeah, that was the main church. That was the main church for the gypsies because they all lived in this area. And there was other Catholic church, but they were a little far, but they all lived on Vest Street, J Avenue, Bridge Avenue, and Chatham, so basically they all got married at...
What was the name of that other church?
St. Wendelin's?
Or St. Emmerich's?
St. Emmerich's or St. Wendelin's
Before your mother and father moved to West 30th, you were on West 24th or 28th or something.
Well, they still... Yeah, that was on 28th, but still... St. Patrick. St. Mary's.
St. Mary's.
That's right.
Okay.
And there's a college over there, and they tore the church down. My dad was... St. Ignatius College. That's what it was, yeah. And it used to be a beautiful church there. That's what we had. A lot of the younger people, like my sister, they had first communion there and everything at St. Mary's. I forgot about St. Mary's. But at my time, almost every after that church was gone, we went to St. Patrick's. Everybody went there.
Right.
And a lot of us went to school there. Too. A lot of us did. At my time, they didn't believe in education at the time.
It was more important to be a musician.
More important to be a musician. That's what it was for the men. That's why a lot of us didn't graduate. Now the generation, now their kids go to college and everything. One of my nephews is becoming a doctor. And so it's now they believe in it, which is a really good thing, you know. But nobody plays. It's not too many people that play anymore. That's the only thing. Any other questions?
How long did you live in Chicago?
How long was that? That was in Chicago?
Yeah.
About 6 months, because I just couldn't take it anymore. Drama.
Too much drama.
I told my mom, I said, I'm going to go stay. I called my aunt up there, and she, I was like a son to her. And I asked her if I could come stay for a while, and I went. The problem was, I was kind of like tricked into going to Smyrna Bible that me and this girl, this gypsy girl, didn't do it.
Like the Bill Clinton, I never had sex with that woman.
So it's kind of like, you know, and I could understand her family felt that way, because there was a lot of talk that her and I were dating, but didn't do anything. We were young kids.
You were just hanging out
together.
We're
basically hanging out, and, you know, we just, you know. But that was it, you know.
And I know all about it.
It's not the kind of a thing that a gypsy kid at that time go to bed with a gypsy girl, because there was a lot of American girls you can go with, you know what I mean? So you don't want to, you know. But the thing was, is that her reputation, and she was a good girl, but her reputation was getting ruined.
Tarnished,
you know, and she would be able to get married to a good guy or something. That's the way it was with the gypsies. But so I did that with witnesses, these old women, gypsy women, and I had a swear in a Bible at the office of a priest that we never did anything, and she had to do the same thing. So it's kind of ridiculous. I thought it was totally ridiculous.
Well, then there was still the family feud between the two families.
Yeah.
Her family and your family.
Mm-hmm.
The women didn't talk to each other.
No. It was...
But the two men, the men did.
The men, yeah.
Didn't Rudy and your fathers hang
out
together?
Yeah, they used to go to play together.
The men would hang together, and the women were the ones who held the grudges.
They used to go play jobs. You know, they were both musicians. The girl's father was a great musician, too. He was a violin player. Mm-hmm. And a lot of... the old time, his father, his name is Rudy, and his father taught him how to play, and his father was a great musician. And so it kind of goes down, you know, where everything is all about being a musician in our, between our relatives and everything.
Or at least it used to be.
Yeah, used to be. Right. There's not too many, you know. Like I said, there's not too many left. I don't even play it.
No, but we have three keyboards sitting over there.
Yeah.
And a drum set downstairs.
Yeah. I don't play that much.
I'm not musically inclined at all, although one of our sons is an excellent guitar player. And he taught himself how to read music and play keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And compose music. He taught himself that.
I studied at the Cleveland Institute in Cleveland Settlement, music school there, and I studied there when I was young, and my brother was going there too, and then when he got older, he got a job at in New York, at Times Square. He was playing at the Copacabana. I don't know if it's not there anymore, but it was at that time. When he was young, he's 73 years old. When he was 20 years old, it was one of the biggest nightclubs in New York, and it was on Times Square.
What was the name of the group he was with? Was that the Dalton
Boys?
Yeah. I remember as much as he does.
Yeah, and while he was there, he studied at Juilliard, because he was, you got to be good, got to be good to get in there.
And who was the famous actress' daughter he dated for a little while? Do you remember?
What was her name?
Was it one of Doris?
Martha Ray.
Martha Ray.
You ever hear of Martha Ray? She was an old-time actor, very old. And he was going out with
one of her daughters.
Her daughter, and they were going to get married, but he wanted a gypsy, which he did. And
what you got? He got a very young.
Very young. Never went
girl.
Out with another guy or anything. She had
she was,
a great reputation.
Yes, and but she's younger than my sister.
Yeah.
So she's younger than me, and your brother's older than
she's,
you.
She's like, I think 8 years older, younger than him.
Yeah,
or 9 years
a big
younger
age
than
difference.
Him. And she was a very, very pretty girl. Very pretty.
And her name is also Linda.
Yeah.
So there are several Linda Zigas. Now, here's a funny story. His brother Danny, who lives out in Las Vegas now, he's back in Chicago.
Sure.
At one time, he was married to a Linda. Jim's mother would call me Linda A because we got married first. Danny's wife was Linda B, and Danny's wife was Linda C. We all had the same name.
Yeah.
Different middle initials, but
yeah.
Same name. Linda Ziga. All right, now if you go on Facebook and you look up Linda Ziga, Linda, his sister-in-law was on Facebook before I was. So she got to be Linda Ziga. I have to be Ziga Linda. We'll figure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the food in your community, like Sunday dinners or food that was served at weddings or anything like that?
Yes. On Sundays, his mother would make homemade potato salad. They called it breaded chicken, but it's fried chicken. Homemade chicken noodle soup.
Stuffed cabbage.
And stuffed cabbage.
That was practically every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And then at weddings, you basically had... You didn't have kibasi at weddings. You had kibasi in addition to those foods at funerals. Funerals, you had kibasi, stuffed cabbage, potato salad,
mm-hmm.
primarily.
Well, like on our wedding, all the old gypsy women got
they
together
did the cooking.
And they cooked. And that basically happens at that wedding at that time.
That's what
and
we used
all
to
the
do.
Older women, our grandmothers, would all get together. It was like 10 of them, and they all cook. And the reason they did that is because they were having a ball in the kitchen. They were
right.
talking. And,
oh, and the chicken paprikash is awesome.
Chicken,
so
great cooks.
I had to get my own spetzel cutter because I know how to make the dough and cut it with a knife off of a cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went down to Amish country in Kidman, Ohio at Layman's Hardware Store and I found a spetzel cutter. And it's just, you know, you set it over the pot and you put the dough in and twirl it around and you've got perfect spetzels.
Well, when someone would come out, a musician would come, like, say, from Chicago, and everybody was always friends, so right away my mom would make a big dinner for them. And then all the other gypsies would come in from Cleveland, come there, and they said, hey, Shanko's here, you know, and Louis, Duna is here, and we were having a dinner at my house, so everybody came in, and we made a big dinner for everybody, and that would go on at least every 2 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, make these big, huge dinners. It was like, and then same thing with christenings, anything like that, christenings, wedding,
First communions,
yeah.
Confirmation, I don't think that was that big of a...
And
thing,
think anything like that, but weddings and funerals were just so big, it was unbelievable.
Now,
what was the tradition
that they used to do, and I think we did it with our children, was it before a baptism where you
put them
underneath the table, the baby had to be underneath the table, and you brought the baby out to take that child to church to be baptized.
Right. It was considered good luck for that baby. That's what it was. Yeah,
and no one does
lot
that
of,
anymore.
A lot of traditions. And, yeah, no one does that anymore. But,
I wasn't sure why
like
we
in
did
our
it,
time,
I just did it.
You know, that we did. There's a lot of tradition things that they did. You know. I can't think of any.
Well, we lived upstairs from your mother and father for several years.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were... And at that time, his two younger siblings, I was the babysitter for them. And his younger sister was She was like a puppy dog. If that front door opened, she was out the door. And I was pregnant with our first child, and I'd have to go chasing her down the street, and she'd be climbing the fence at the West Side Community House two doors away, like a little monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn, get back in here.
She's a real good person. She lives in Vegas, and she lost her son to a bad disease that he had.
Yeah, juvenile diabetes.
And she couldn't stay in Detroit anymore, so her and her husband moved to Vegas, and she's happy now. But there's a lot of traditions.
Well, now one thing they still, a lot of people still do is there's a shrine, Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine out of Euclid, Ohio, like 250-something in Euclid. And August 15th is the date of the Feast of the Assumption, I believe, of Holy Mary.
Yeah.
And they would go to the shrine where Our Lady of Lourdes appeared at some time, and there's water began flowing out of the rocks below where she had appeared in a vision.
Yeah, and the gypsies used to go every year.
Collect the water, eat in the cafeteria, and also there was a candlelight procession, and you could walk the stations of the cross.
All the gypsies used to go there, and it would be packed with gypsies.
Right.
Just totally packed. And they would spend a lot of money. They would buy necklaces, crosses,
rosaries,
and everything. And all the nuns there. There was nuns that did all this stuff there, and they welcomed the gypsies because there were so many. There was like 100 of them. I say there was probably about 500-600 there, trying to bring all the kids and everything.
And some of your relatives still go.
Yeah, some still go there.
And there's another shrine in Gary, Ohio that I know your mother went to in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what was I thinking of? Oh, another great tradition from the Musicians Union, that and those men that were in the union would put on an event at Euclid Beach Park.
Oh, yeah.
And the families would go with their children, and it was free to musicians and their families. Free to get in.
Yeah.
And they would either buy food or, I think, we used to pack picnic lunches.
Because you are younger, you remember anything about Euclid Beach?
It was like
Cedar Point. Okay.
Some of the rides from Euclid Beach are at Cedar Point now, like the racing horses.
Right, and every year the gypsies would even, some would come from out of town because the musicians union would put it on. And there was so many there. Everywhere you're going, there's a big park and there's rides and everything, you know.
We used to take our children.
Yeah, and they took baskets. You could buy food there, and a lot of them just had their picnic. And then at the end, they had a log cabin. And all the gypsies would go in there, and they had a band in there, and all the gypsies, it was just gypsies, nobody else. And they all danced all night like it was a wedding and everything like
that.
Yeah,
great ballroom.
Yeah, that was the camp.
Yeah.
That was the log camp.
And when was this? What years?
I would say
up to mid-70s. Yeah.
That was the last time, probably.
Because Christopher was born in 74, the year that your father died.
Yeah.
He was born a couple months before your father died in 74.
That's when there was, and I would say in the end of the 70s, that's when a lot of people started moving to different cities, different states.
And then they shut down Euclid Beach Park.
Yeah, they shut it down. That was a great park. The gypsies loved it there. Yeah.
Hmm.
Any questions?
Yeah. What was women's involvement in like the musical community?
Was there any involvement in the community
for like women in like?
There were a few women who became very accomplished musicians, primarily violin players.
Yeah.
There's one that Stevie wrote about.
Stevie's grandmother was a cymbalum player and a violin player. Stevie's grandma. I don't know, do you all know Stevie, who he is? The one that wrote the book?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't sure. Well, his grandmother was a very good musician. She really was.
I believe there's a picture of her in the book.
Yeah. But that's, the gypsies didn't get themselves, I think I understand what you were saying. Did they involve themselves into the community or anything like that? Was that what you meant?
For men, music seemed to be like a really big part of like how they like got together and stuff they did together. Like how were women involved in that? Were they?
The women would dance and sing.
Yeah.
And drink with the men at a party or gathering.
Right.
And sometimes the women would pick up an instrument and, you know, fool around and play a little bit, but they weren't accomplished musicians.
No.
But they would sing. And if they didn't know the words to the song, they would just hum and say, yadi-da-da, yai-yai-yai.
Gypsy songs.
You know, yeah, they didn't do la-la-la, you know, like other people would. But and they would sing along to the music.
Yeah, that's what they would do. But gypsy men, actually, they just didn't play music. They had jobs. They played.
They earned money for
playing.
They
earned money. That's how they earned their money, is playing in nightclubs and or they played concerts. At that time, which nowadays, you know, DJs. You know, that's what it is. But
yeah,
now, at that time, there was no DJs. You know, it wasn't, so they had to bands. Like my dad, take for instance, my dad, he played at the German Central Farm. Every week, he played there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And the name of the group was the Melody Band.
The Melody Band, and he played there all the time. He played other places, and all the other men did the same thing. They played with different bands, or they had their own bands, which were gypsy men, you know. And there was another place like the Hopper House. Myself and my father. And my older brother, we used to play there. So all the men played in different places in Cleveland, which there was a lot of nightclubs at that time. You know, it was just, that's what they did for a living, they played.
Now, what about the tradition, you should tell them a brief story about the Christmas caroling.
Oh yeah, we used to go Christmas caroling with our instruments. And so three of us, I was a young kid then, I was only like 15 years old, and we would start 2 weeks before Christmas, and we used to go and chant, and you can't do that, you can't do this anymore, you'll go to jail. You know?
Yeah, you're not allowed to go and start playing carols. And
yeah, you can't, so, but at that time, and sometimes we would catch a day that it wasn't that cold. We would go only by the rich homes, you know, where it's well-to-do, and we would ring the doorbell, and we start playing Merry Christmas, and we start playing the violin, the guitars, and that, and make money. We would make $600-$700 a night when we would go there. Sometimes we would catch a party. One time
and
we caught a big party, and we ring the doorbell, we start playing, and they invite us in, you know, and then I would ask if we could pass the hat. There's a lot of people there. And
for donations.
So I went and passed the hat. We made $900 just in that one place. The owner gave us $200 by himself, you know. And that's, others did the same thing too, you know, they all did that. And then there was three of us that went out, my father with his group, my older brother with his group, and my group. And we come home and we made $1,000.
And Christmas, you know, was a big deal amongst the gypsy communities.
Right.
Talk about spoiled children and lots of toys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before you had any techie kind of toys. I mean, you didn't even have Etch-a-Sketches back then. And the whole entire room would be filled with toys.
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to have a bicycle until you were out. Because
I had a bicycle.
His mother was a little bit strict.
She was.
She didn't want you getting hurt. So he had to hide his bicycle at his cousin's.
And the other thing is that for Christmas, the gypsies and having your kids, the girl daughters and the sons, dress that you would not believe. They would go and buy. My father would take me and my brother and take us into a tailor shop and have us suits made for us at that time and everything. And same thing with the girls. Everybody tried to outdress.
Oh yeah, the women were always trying to outdress.
And at weddings, it was like that. The women were always trying to outdo the other ones. And they spend hundreds.
They still do.
Hundreds of dollars on their dresses. Some pay.
And the brides would spend a lot.
A lot of money on their dresses.
Just on the dress.
Yeah, you know, you see these sales on TV. Sometimes it's Bride's Day. You know, you go by. They didn't believe in those. They had their dresses made.
They were custom made with
custom
a lot of bling.
With a lot of.
Or ruffles. You very rarely saw like a slim sheath type dress. These were all
big dresses.
Huge dresses. Not as outlandish as what you see on television on that
gypsy.
Gypsy wedding or whatever it is. They didn't dress that crazy. You could fit through a doorway in the dress.
The weddings were beautiful, and some girls wear gowns like they would wear at the awards,
like the Academy Awards.
Like Academy Awards, they would dress, a lot of them would dress like that, but a lot of some bling, but not like that one program.
But now the bridesmaids were not all color coordinated, like you see in other.
They all had their own different
like
dresses.
Americans and other groups.
Yeah.
The bridesmaids were allowed to pick out whatever they wanted to wear, whatever color it was, whatever style it was. And then there was always like a shepherd girl.
Yeah.
The ring bearer and flower girl. But
miniature
there was a
bride
miniature
and
bride and groom. Children dressed like the bride and groom.
Yeah.
In the wedding party.
And they would come out first. Yeah, they would come out first, and then it was
a big production.
We had how many bridesmaids you have?
I don't know, too many.
I think we had 10.
And the other is you always had like the oldest.
Oh yeah.
What's that called? I forget the
word. Oldest.
No, there's a gypsy name for it.
SWAT guy.
SWAT guy, and there was an oldest man and an oldest woman. So his aunt Dorothy was the oldest woman, and Frankie Horvath was the oldest man for our wedding. And both of his brothers were in our wedding party. His sister Marilyn was one of the flower girls. We had like three flower girls. So we had my sister Jeannie too.
The gypsies usually have big weddings like that at the time. You know, they didn't believe getting married in court. They didn't believe that. They believed in getting married in Catholic Church.
Now our bridesmaids have their dresses color coordinated.
Yeah.
And the same style.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it was American and gypsy.
It was mixed. Right.
She's
going
to hit me,
I do the same thing that you do. We talk with our hands. We've been together now for 53 years.
Yeah.
To the same person. Well, we've been married almost 51 years.
51 years.
April 30th.
April 30th.
Our 51st anniversary.
That's coming up.
Well, we did good. What was nice about us getting married young is that we our kids left at William & H.
And we get to see our great grandchildren.
Yeah, and we traveled a lot. Linda and I traveled. We went through a lot of traveling and
17 cruises.
17 cruises. And we went to a couple of different countries, you know. And
mostly Mexico.
Mexico and
you know, the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, Virgin Islands, yeah. But we do a lot of traveling, and we don't travel anymore. We bought a cabin, and we go out to our cabin. So
now we do the woodsy
cabin,
fake camping thing. We used to do the real camping thing. We've done tent camping, pop-ups, trailers, our first trip with the children, the first two children, to Disney World, my best friend and her husband and us rented a trailer and pulled it with our car.
Wally World.
Yeah. Stayed at a trailer park called Green Acres in Florida, near Orlando.
Well, the short story is that we don't travel anymore because it's hard for us to travel.
Yeah, we've got two dogs. Have to get a dog sitter.
You get older. We're glad that we did it when we were young, you know, because a lot of people start traveling when they're tired and they're older. And
it's hard to get around.
It's hard.
We couldn't go. We went to on a cruise, and we took the trip inland to see Chichen Itza, the Mayan ruins at Chichen Itza. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. One of my favorite places to go. We spent one day in Cancun. That's just such a touristy thing. It's like, you know, I wanted to see, we're both into the historical stuff, the Mayan ruins and stuff like that.
Any questions? Anyone?
I think a couple of students might need to go soon. You're welcome to if you need to, but yeah, any more questions?
I just had a question about how like marriages work, because you mentioned that you married someone outside of the Gypsy community. Was that like a common thing, or was that kind of like a scandalous thing at the time?
That was scandalous at the time. Yes, when we first started dating, if his mother happened to be walking down the street, he made me walk behind him or across the street so she wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Were parents involved in the dating, like,
or
just in marriages?
Yes,
they were involved in who we allowed to date.
Well, one of my brother, when he was going to get married, what the Gypsies do is that
they had a little ceremony for that, right?
Well, they the girl's parents come to my mother and father's house, which I was there too, and they bring a bottle of whiskey with them and a whiskey shot. And they come in and my mother and father knew they were going to come. Okay.
Well, your father arranged it. That's
because it was kind of like arranged in the back between the two fathers. So they came with a bottle of whiskey and a shot glass, and they came at the cup, and they come and says, my father's name was Casey. He said, Casey, here's a shot. And my mother, you know, and all four of them drank. Since we've come to ask your son to marry a daughter.
That's meant to be.
Yeah, so that was a traditional thing that they did at the time.
But there was something with a handkerchief and tying a knot over their hand.
Then they have an engagement party. After they have hundreds of gypsies there. And then one of the oldest men, or they pick him out, and he goes and he says, and he wraps both your wrists in a handkerchief, and he says, I pronounce that you are engaged to get married. And that was an old tradition.
They didn't do that with us, though.
No. And, but my considering... she was a very good girl. She never went out. She never dated. She was a very young girl at the time.
She didn't even know Johnny that well.
But she liked him. She did. At that time, she liked him. And because they were taught to like a good boy. And getting married with a good girl was always with a good boy, because Johnny was, he like I told you before, he was a great musician. And that was the big thing about gypsies, for a girl to marry a good boy. There's been a lot of problems with gypsy girls falling in love with a guy who doesn't play, he doesn't do anything, you know, doesn't go to school, he doesn't work.
And then the woman has to go to work
and
support
the
children.
And the parents of the daughter don't want him, because they consider, they come out and they say, he's a bum. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's a bum, you know? So
he's
that's
a bum
just,
or a dead dog.
Yeah, right. They would say bum or a dead dog. And so it kind of goes, you know, which way and how it's going to work. But sometimes the boy and girl went, hey. And then the parents were all getting into it.
We almost did, yeah. Because my parents didn't want me with you because you were a gypsy. Because
I was a gypsy, yeah.
And your parents didn't want you with me because I wasn't.
So
we snuck around for a little while.
Which was good. It's they all got together. My mother and father and her mother and father were very reasonable about it. And he sat down and says, "Well, let's let them get married."
And they worked out the wedding.
They worked out the wedding together.
They planned that wedding within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Less than a month.
Yeah.
They planned a wedding for 500 people.
Yeah, for 500 people. So it worked out, at that. Usually it doesn't happen that way. There's usually a lot of problems.
We were very lucky.
Yeah.
And I still have my wedding dress. I wore it as a Halloween costume for Marie Antoinette. It still fit.
So, have any other questions?
I'm a perfectly adopted gypsy now.
Yeah.
I mean, no one has a problem with me being, not gypsy because I've been raised with these people.
Yeah.
And I know the customs and traditions, and I remember being with the older women and how we would sit and talk and how the parties went, and I proofread Stevie's book before it was published, and I knew most of the stories. There was one or two stories that I had never heard of, traditions about breaking the bow or something, that one I had never seen, but I had been involved for so many years that I just didn't get to play an instrument or sing.
Chicago was a very fun place to be at.
It was a fun place to visit, but
oh,
I would not live there with the drama that was going on,
so
you couldn't drive anywhere there.
It was like just sit there on a porch and watch the show.
Oh my God.
That's what it was, show.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, the Cleveland women were bad enough, but the ones in Chicago were worse.
Yeah.
Because there were more of them, too.
Yeah, that's...
And they were meaner.
Sometimes you wouldn't even see the husband and wife fighting. It was like a show.
Well, when your sister wanted to get married to the brother of Linda B., your mother chased her down the Bridge Avenue with a broom.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. This has been great.
You're
welcome. We miss the old traditions, but now we're moving on with all this wonderful new technology, and hopefully we don't destroy the planet.
Hopefully not.
Thank you, really. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you
okay.
so much.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
Great. I'll be in touch soon. Thank you. Have a nice afternoon.
Take
thank
care.
You. You too.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.